Welcome to Attention Talk Radio, the show centered around paying attention to attention, with your host, Attention Coach Jeff Copper.
I got to tell you out there, everybody in Attention Talk Radio land, we have a great month lined up for you. I'm your host, Attention Coach Jeff Copper, and with me in my virtual studio is Kirsten Milliken. Yay, Kirsten.
Yay, Jeff.
Kirsten, how are you tonight?
I am doing extremely, extremely well today.
You need to speak into your microphone a little bit so everybody can hear how excited you are. I'm excited, too, because we've been doing some research. Over in the UK, it's Dyslexia Awareness Month, and we got a great show tonight. It's the impact of dyslexia on ADHD. Again, real quickly, this is Attention Talk Radio. It is October the 10th in the year 2012 at 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. Our topic is the impact of dyslexia on ADHD, and with us in our virtual studio is Judith Stern, who has been on our show before. I think it was last May or June, talking about a book that they had reprinted that had been in print for the last 20 years. So, Kirsten, this show has been, I think, a long time coming, and I think we've got some really good material. Just thoughts before we get started?
Yeah, I'm actually surprised that you haven't had this show yet. I mean, because this is something that you've made people aware of as an issue for you, dyslexia and ADHD. So, I mean, I think it's timely because they're celebrating in the UK, and some people here are also paying attention this month to dyslexia and ADHD because of ADHD awareness and dyslexia awareness. So.
And ADHD Awareness Week starts next week, just by the way. So we're celebrating dyslexia this week and ADHD next week, and probably both of them through the whole entire month for that matter. And Kirsten, this is a near and dear topic to me, at least the dyslexia side of it, because I can really relate to it. But, you know, it really comes down to getting the right guest, and I think we got the right one tonight with Judith Stern. Real quickly, before we jump into everything, next week it is ADHD Awareness Week, and we're having a very interesting show on this year's theme of ADHD Awareness Week is the many faces of ADHD, and we are going to interview the one ink spot. And I do mean ink spot. It was Evelyn Green, and I encourage everybody to listen to the show next week. It goes along with this year's theme. As formulated by the ADHD Awareness Week team, but I think you'll find our show is very interesting and unique. So again, I encourage you to tune in next week. Also, we're about a month away. I think we're a month away from the CHAD conference, right, Kirsten?
We are.
And I know that as we speak of 1 month, we'll be there in the thick of it. If you haven't made your reservations, go to chadd.org. It's in San Francisco, California this year, and it's their 25th year. Their theme is 25 years of making a difference, so it's a very special conference, so please go. Also, I want to be aware, this has been a long time in the making, but we are going to launch Wednesday of next week, Attention Talk Video, your ADHD talk show station. And my guest next week is going to be Dr. Charles Parker, and we're going to be talking about ADHD meds. And it is a talk show, and it is on YouTube. And it is something that we're kind of proud of and unique. And it is something that there's been a lot of technical issues, but we're going to release it. It ain't perfect, but the content is good. So for all our listeners out there, go to our Facebook page at facebook.com/attentiontalkradio and or just go to attentiontalkvideo.com and we'll be releasing our first episode of that. And with that, Kirsten, we've launched Attention Talk News, and Kirsten's kind of heading that up real quick. Kirsten, you want to comment on that?
Yeah, actually I do, because the most recent edition that we just put out of Attention Talk News has some interesting information about dyslexia and ADHD on it. Including an interesting video that has to do with showing people what it's like to have dyslexia, so giving them an experience to show them some of the frustrations that go along with having dyslexia. So if tonight's topic is something that's interesting to you, go and check out the newsletter, which you can access at our Facebook page at facebook.com/attentiontalkradio. And you can click on that and then
up in the tab section, you got to hit a little thing, and there'll be a trusted contact. You go and you can load in your email address, and we'll send it. This is delivered to your inbox twice a month, right, Kirsten?
Twice a month. So, yep.
And it's full of, we have Dr. Nowles, a guest writer this month. We also have stuff on the radio show. We're going to have videos, not always Attention Talk video stuff, but it's really, it's of its own. It's, just think of it as your three-dimensional multimedia newspaper. That's a good way of putting it, right?
That's a great way of putting it. Three-dimensional multimedia. Wow.
We're aggregating it all together. So, okay, so we talked about Chad, we talked about our Facebook page, we talked about Attention Talk News, we talked about Attention Talk Video. Now what we have left is to talk about is dyslexia. So, Kirsten, can you give us the rundown on Judith so we can get going?
Absolutely. Judith Stern is an educational consultant specializing in work with children who have attentional and learning problems. She meets with parents, provides consultation services to schools, and she also presents in-service workshops. She co-authored with Dr. Patricia Quinn the book that we had her on for last, which was Putting on Brakes, Young People's Guide to Understanding ADHD, which has now been translated into many languages. And as we celebrated, was it the 20th anniversary of that book?
That's correct.
Yeah, it was incredible. Your latest book, though, Jude's latest book is The Dyslexia Checklist, a practical reference for parents and teachers, and that was put out a couple of years ago. Judith Stern has 30 years of experience as a classroom teacher, a reading specialist, and learning disabilities teacher. Her extensive experience contributes to a broad knowledge of issues faced by today's students, parents, and educators. Judith, and I'm interested to hear, though, how you kind of got into the whole area of ADHD and dyslexia, so this is going to be a terrific show. Welcome tonight, Judith.
Thank you very much. Nice to be here.
You know, Kirsten, that's a great second question. Judith, I want to ask you, for our listeners out there, let's just talk about what is dyslexia, and then after we get done with that, we'll go to Kirsten's question of how do you get involved with ADHD and dyslexia?
Okay. Well, dyslexia is really a language-based learning disorder, and other people may have heard the terms reading disability or reading disorder. All of those basically are the same thing. If somebody has a child in the public school system and they have a reading disability, that's what it will be called. The public schools don't tend to use the term dyslexia. But as I said, they're really the same thing. They're a difficulty learning to read, learning to understand the combination of sounds in order to read. For many children and adults, it could also mean that when they can read something, but they can't understand it very well.
So am I hearing you correctly that the word dyslexia and the word learning disability, are they synonymous?
It's synonymous with reading disability, because a learning disability you can have in many different areas. You can have it in math or written language, but a reading disability is synonymous with dyslexia.
So you can have dyslexia, which means you have a learning disability. A reading disability. If you have a reading disability, you definitely have dyslexia. So there's no that they are one and the same.
Pretty much, yeah.
Wow.
I mean, you know, again, the terminology is used in some places, but not in others. If you were to look at testing that was done on a child in public schools, you would not see the word dyslexia in that report.
Well, I know my report in 1972, I got the dual diagnosis of the two of them together, which is just interesting that you say that, because you're more – I mean, I accept it. I deal with it all the time. I don't necessarily study it, but it's interesting because they're using the same word to mean kind of the same thing. With that being said, moving forward to Kirsten's question, how did you get interested and involved with looking at dyslexia and ADHD?
Well, I think it all started many years ago when I began my teaching career. I was teaching in a public school system, and I had a fair number of students in my class who were having reading difficulties. And at that time, learning disabilities were not as well served as they are now, certainly in the public school system. And I was asked if I would like to be part of a pilot program for working with children who had learning problems right in the regular classroom. And that really intrigued me. I've always liked reading. I like teaching reading. I like watching kids learn to read. So I participated in that program, and that really opened me up to the whole issue of learning problems in a regular classroom. And then as the years went on, I became more and more interested in attention deficit disorder, because that was also a part of, you know, my everyday job. And so it was very natural to combine those two, kids who have attention problems and kids who have learning problems specifically in reading. So I went back and I got a reading specialist certification in my state, and that broadened my world so that I was teaching kids with both learning problems and attention problems.
At the same time. Interesting. So before we got to the show, I had heard a long time ago a study that was done on individuals that had money, and it seemed to indicate that a higher percentage of them were actually diagnosed with dyslexia. And before the show, we'll talk about this later, how I don't like to do research, and I should have done my homework beforehand. But while we were getting ready for the show, Kirsten did some online stuff. And Kirsten, can you just talk a little bit about what you found online about this?
Absolutely. Yeah, there's several references, and it looks like a lot of different sites have picked this up, but there was a study by the Tulip Financial Group that was actually commissioned by the British Broadcasting Company for a series called The Mind of a Millionaire. And what they found in interviewing 300 millionaires who participated in the study was that 40% of them had been diagnosed with dyslexia, which is outstanding to me. So, you know, Jeff, you're lagging behind, I think, a little bit.
Wait a second. How do you know I'm not a millionaire?
I don't know.
You're inferring a lot. But here,
I'm going to bite my tongue.
Well, everybody out there, I want to be careful here. We're not here to validate this stuff. We're sharing information, and we're not going to say what she's saying is 100% right or wrong. However, I had heard something else somewhere else that was relatively similar, and I'm going to turn to Judith and say, what are your comments on that? Does that make sense to you? Or, I mean, you don't have to comment, but what do you think of that?
Well, here are some thoughts on that. I don't know, and I've learned over the years that research can be interpreted in all kinds of ways, so there'd probably be a lot more questions we'd really need to ask before we can accept that, you know, as a blanket statement. But some of my thoughts would include that if you have a learning problem as a young person, you really have to learn alternative ways to solve problems. So I personally have worked with kids who were very weak readers, but they learned over the years to use technology, or they learned ways to get somebody else to help them with reading work, and they became kind of creative thinkers in the sense that I want to go to school, or I want to go to college, or I want to become an engineer. I need to find another way of doing this. And so I think there's a lot of problem solving that comes along with having a learning problem. And it could be that many of these people in some ways were trained to persevere, to try harder, to find an alternate route. One of the things that we haven't mentioned so far is that to have a reading disability, you have to have average or above average intelligence. So we're talking really about people who have as many cognitive skills as anyone else, and they just have to learn how to take care of their weaknesses in order to let these strengths shine through.
Wow.
Jeff, I know you'll relate to this, because one of the comments that it says in this article is that dyslexics who struggle make up for it by being more creative and looking at the bigger picture. People with dyslexia are often very good lateral and strategic thinkers.
Wow.
So it could be by the nature of their brains that they are, you know, that their strengths are in other areas besides just the pure language and reading areas.
Wow. Well, I tell you what, we need to go to commercial break. And when I come back, I'm going to comment on what you just said, Kirsten. But before we do, Judith, for anybody out there who want to buy your books or need to get in contact with you, is the best place to go is your website?
Yes, I think that's a good place to start. Certainly they can reach me that way, and they will see a list of all of the books that I've published and a short summary.
And this is a long URL. It's judithsterneducationalconsultant.com. Is that right?
Right, www.
Yeah.
Yep.
So it's Judith, J-U-D-I-T-H-S-T-E-R-N, educationalconsultant.com. And with that, we'll be right back after these messages.
Your life, your world, your choice. This is Attention Talk Radio.
We are CHAD, the nation's leading nonprofit organization serving individuals with or impacted by ADHD. At CHAD, we provide information and help families and professionals to improve the lives of those with ADHD. On November 8th through 10th, CHAD will have its annual conference in San Francisco, California. If you are impacted by ADHD, this is a must-attend event. For details, go to chad.org. Interested in exhibitor and program opportunities? Call Barbara Rose at 240-487-2314.
Make every moment count with Time Timer, a sensitive solution for ADHD time management. It shows how much time is left using a bright red disc that gets smaller as time passes. To place an order for a Time Timer, all you have to remember is TimeTimer.com.
You deserve the best-trained ADHD coach. Find one at the ADD Coach Academy, the only comprehensive ADHD coach training program accredited by the International Coach Federation. Go to ADDCA.com and click on Find a Coach.
Train your brain with Brain Train. ADHD impacts grades, relationships, and the quality of life for your kids. Parents now have a new way to improve the lives of their ADHD child without using meds. Brain Train is designed to exercise your child's mind, to train it to work differently and efficiently. Learn how Brain Train can make a change by training your child's brain. Visit Brain Train at www.brain-train-adhd.com for more information today.
You're listening to Attention Talk Radio. And now, back to the show.
Welcome back, everybody, to this edition of Attention Talk Radio, and I think this is going to be my favorite episode, and we haven't even finished yet. We've got my co-host, Kirsten Milliken, asking some amazing questions, and Judith Stern, educational consultant, who knows both this knows this space very, very well. Before the break, we were talking about really what is dyslexia, and as Judith was saying, it's a reading disability. They're really kind of synonymous, and we haven't really kind of got into the details of the interplay between dyslexia and dyslexia, and we're going to do that. But we were leading up to some research and the notion that, if I can articulate this right, Judith said, is those with ADHD had to learn differently and to problem solve. And Kirsten was asking or saying I could identify with this, and I do, and I'd like to share with everybody. I know Attention Talk Radio is an example of this. When I got to college, all the tutors were gone, and I was taking sociology of sport, and which is very reading intensive. And I'll talk more about that later. But more specifically, is the need to do research papers, and reading is not the easiest thing for me to do, nor is writing. Matter of fact, it's very hard to do. If anybody subscribes to my newsletter, every one page. Understand there's probably 15 to 20 hours that went into writing that single page to give you an idea of what's going on. If you have dyslexia, you can relate to this. It just takes that much to kind of figure it all out. But where I'm going with it is rather than having to go read all that stuff in library, I would go and interview subject matter experts or authors of books and use their quotes as footnotes. That would relieve me of the need of having to spend hours in a library. I say that because when I got into the coaching business, you were supposed to write a book or to start a blog, and I started an audio blog, which morphed itself into Attention Talk Radio. And as a coach, when I'm working with people, it's focus on what you do, not necessarily how it's supposed to be. And this is an example of this is the lead thing in terms of social media. It's an audio blog. I also talk about my experiences in reading. I just read the first line of each paragraph and follow the gist of what's going on because I just can't keep up with the volume of reading. We did a show on how works, and the reading that I do, I will tell you, is I read textbooks. I don't read. I need to understand how something works kind of insightfully because the reading I do, it needs to be very, very – I can't read volumes. I need to cut to the chase. I need to understand how it works. In order for me to kind of grasp the concept, then I can go from there. Judith, in what I've described to you so far, well, let me back up. Another thing that I found is because I listen at a higher level, I listen for patterns in mental models. So when somebody says something, I can put it into a context of something that I already know. And I think one of the things that I like about coaching that attracts me is I have the ability to see things that are similar that seem very, very different because of the high-level review of what's kind of going on and trying to find out how that's lined up. Now, I've said all that stuff, Judith, and you can say, you don't have dyslexia at all. You're like, I don't know what you're talking about. Or you can say, what's going on? But the comment is I had to find alternative ways myself to kind of get through this stuff. Is this illustrative of what you've seen with dyslexia, or is it different?
Well, I mean, for some people, that's the way they have to do it. For others, we currently have a lot of very good, what they say is that you have to have a very systematic approach to teaching reading. We can't just teach one system one day and then switch to something else a few days later.
But in terms of alternate learning,
yeah,
and being able to problem solve differently, are those the types of, I mean, I'm going to have a hard time articulating this here, which is I do have a hard time calling up, articulating what I'm really talking about, because the pattern to me is what I'm just describing is, is what I'm describing illustrative of somebody who's going about things differently?
Yes, but, you know, that could or could not be part of dyslexia. I think that for some people, that is part of the way they think, and there's an alternate way of doing things. But the disability itself, or the difficulty itself, is really learning to read. So for some people, what they do is that they learn better techniques for the actual reading instruction. And I think probably now we have better systems than perhaps when you went to school. We have what they call research-based reading instruction, and it's quite effective with many children and young adults.
Dude, if I have a question.
Go ahead.
Yeah.
I have a question. So as a psychologist, I evaluate people every week who have ADHD or other learning differences. And even just in the last, this week, as a matter of fact, working with a woman in her 40s who has dyslexia and ADHD. But my question is, so people who have ADHD often struggle with working memory. They don't they're not able to hold as much or for as long a time as a typical person would in short-term memory to work with it.
Right. People with ADHD often do, yeah.
Right, exactly. So, for instance, this client has significant working memory problems across the board. But one of the questions I had when we were looking at her reading disability was, is that what's causing her reading disability, or is dyslexia a whole other thing? Or is it just, like, do they go together?
They could go together. That's always an interesting comment I like to make when I say to people, if I lined up four or ten people that had reading disabilities, they could each look very different. So I might have one there who had a fairly good working memory, and I might have, you know. So I wouldn't say that for everyone with a reading disability you have that same feature, but that would make sense. For example, my experience in working with young children showed me that for kids who don't have good working memories, it's harder for them to learn to read because they can't hold on to all of the sounds and hold them together to form a word. That might be an example of where their problem lies. But for other kids, they can read the words, but they can't really understand as well what they're reading. So I think some of those features can be part of a reading disability, but you would not have the same cluster for each person you test.
So just like ADHD, where we say it's not just about getting the diagnosis, you really have to be clear about what each person's ADHD looks like, how it affects them,
right,
in order to what accommodations they need. The same is true with somebody with dyslexia. They may need very different types of accommodations or learning strategies.
Right. For example, you might have here's an illustration. You might have one adult who could read word by word and make no mistakes, but their expression does not show that they're really understanding. And you've probably heard people read like that. It doesn't come together. It's word by word by word. So it's the comprehension of that whole sentence that's difficult for them. And then you can look at someone else who very haltingly says each word, has to sound each word out. It's almost painful to listen to.
Yeah.
So what we would do, whether you're looking at a child or an adult, is you'd want to see where do they need the initial help. Do they need to learn the sounds? Do they need to learn how to combine those sounds to make words? Do they need to improve their vocabulary? Or like you mentioned before, do they need to just really be able to pay attention to what they're reading so it makes sense?
Yeah.
So with this client that I'm working with, she's on medication, but, you know, that's still a struggle for her. It always hasn't. And she's amazingly bright,
Yeah. Bright.
So a lot of what we're working on is, you know, if even with, you know, different learning strategies and medication support and everything else, it's still not coming together for her.
Right.
How do you manage? I mean, she's just going into a master's program.
Wow. Well, I think one of the big things you do is you acknowledge that frustration so that these people stop thinking that there's something wrong with them, or the one that I hear, which always hurts, is that they think they're stupid. So you make sure to clarify that this is not an intellect issue. This is a specific part of, you know, of your learning that doesn't work well. But when I work with older students or college students or young adults, I will often teach them techniques like reading one paragraph at a time and speaking into an audio recorder one sentence that summarizes that one paragraph, and then going on and reading the next paragraph. And by the end of that whole chapter, let's say it was in a textbook, they will then have something they can listen to that kind of summarizes the whole thing. And that, you know, that's a very easy, relatively easy way for someone to hold on to a whole chapter without having to read it again.
I have to tell you this would work for a lot of clients that I know. This woman said to me, she had an assignment, five parts. Each part, though, had like three or four questions built into it.
Yeah.
She had to read a page article for this.
Mm.
She had to reread the entire article for every chunk in each section that she had to answer. So she said she got to class the next time, and her classmate was complaining that it took them 2 hours to do this assignment.
Yeah.
And realized that she really needed to find somebody to help her get accommodations in school because it had taken her 8 hours to do that assignment.
Yeah, and you know, that, by the way, that whole speed of reading is another issue for many people with reading problems. It will take them much longer. So another accommodation that we find helpful for many people is to listen to audiobooks. And if you have a diagnosed learning disability, no matter what age you are, you'd be entitled to get books, recorded books, and there is recordings for the blind and dyslexic. People can sign up for that. So there are a lot of good audio resources for people who need textbooks or other books recorded.
That's Judith, great. Would you say that now, from a technology standpoint, it would be the best time to have dyslexia just because of the technology and the tools that you have available to you as opposed to what was available 30, 40 years ago?
Oh, I definitely think so. I mean, they have just amazing technology. There's a software called the Kurzweil software. It's Kurzweil, and it allows people to actually scan their books into this using this software, so the book then is read back to them, and you can vary the speed. So if you need to have it slower, if I were reading a physics textbook, I'd need it on a very slow speed. You know, someone else might need a novel on a very slow speed. So it allows you to do that. It will highlight word by word if you want to use that. It's just pretty amazing for somebody who needs assistance how much can be done without another person even having to be there with them.
Amazing.
Yes.
Judith, I need to run to a commercial break real quick. Again, if anybody has a question, wants to buy one of Judith's books, go to Judith, J-U-D-I-T-H, Stern, S-T-E-R-N, educationalconsultant.com, and with that, we'll be right back.
You're listening to Attention Talk Radio. We'll return in a moment. Your life, your world, your choice. This is Attention Talk Radio.
Experience.
Experience the difference with a top-notch ADHD coach. Find one at the ADD Coach Academy, the only comprehensive ADHD coach training program accredited by the International Coach Federation. Go to addca.com and click on Find a Coach.
Make every moment count with Time Timer, a sensitive solution for ADHD time management. It shows how much time is left using a bright red disc that gets smaller as time passes. To place an order for a Time Timer, all you have to remember is TimeTimer.com.
We are CHAD, the nation's leading nonprofit organization serving the community impacted by ADHD. CHAD and Attention Magazine provide science-based information about ADHD to families, professionals, the media, and the general public. Attention is the only publication in which your paid advertising promotes the mission of leadership, advocacy, research, education, and support for the ADHD community. Interested? Advertise in Attention Magazine and CHAD's website at chadd.org or call 240-487-2314.
And now, back to Attention Talk Radio.
Welcome back, everybody, to this edition of Attention Talk Radio. We're having a great discussion with Judith Stern on dyslexia. Judith, one of the things that I wanted to do is have you on the show to talk about dyslexia. Kind of like to talk about the combination now of dyslexia and ADHD. Can you talk about the complexities of that, the struggles of that, and or some of the frustration?
Okay, well, I think each of those diagnoses has a lot of difficulties attached to it, and when you combine them, that makes it even more of a challenge, I think, to do academic work, to read for pleasure, for some people doing things like looking at the newspaper and getting adequate information. I think where we see special problems would be when something is lengthy. So like we talked before about the adult who was having a hard time in a master's program because you don't just read a page or two. You have to read extensive amounts, and you have to be able to hold on to the information. You have to be able to screen out a lot of distraction. If you have a family around, then you might be reading in a place where there's a lot going on, and that distracts you on top of having some trouble with reading. So I think you know, when you're distracted, when it's hard for you to concentrate, and you're also doing something that is a skill that's difficult for you, then added together, that becomes quite a frustrating task. So, that's an example where having the two would be certainly a disadvantage to a student and to somebody who wants to enjoy reading.
You know, that sounds kind of heavy to me, yet I remember, if I recall, last year CHAD conference, Dr. Barkley and Dr. Hollowell got up on stage and they were talking about the differences and similarities between the two in that process. Dr. Hollowell was explaining that, you know, ADHD is not necessarily a gift, but he also discussed his situation because he has it and he has dyslexia, yet he writes books and is probably one of the poster childs for at least layman's terms of this stuff. So can you speak to the, I mean, he's an example of amazing success with these kind of conditions. How do you explain that?
Well, one of the things that we haven't mentioned yet, and I think it's really important to talk about, is that people with dyslexia may have difficulties with reading, but on the other side, they may be extremely skilled at oral speaking and using their oral language, and that's something that sometimes confuses teachers. You have a child who knows so much information, can speak really well, and then you start listening to him or her read, and it doesn't seem like the same person. So for somebody who has really good thinking skills, really good ability to express himself, those skills can all come certainly can come to a great advantage. You can be able to speak about things. You can be able to learn by listening. It's just that when it comes to the reading process, that is not your strength. So I think as people get older, for example, if they have lots of ideas but they're somewhat disorganized with their ideas, then they learn to get on their computer, perhaps produce some kind of an outline or a web and they get all of their information down, and then they start organizing it. And the joy of a computer is you can take all of this, move it around without ever having to pick up a pencil and without having to do any erasing. So, again, using technology, dictating ideas, using voice recognition software, listening to books so that you can absorb an incredible amount of information, those are all far less painful than having to do them without any technology.
Well, when I asked you that question, you started out as they may be, I think you said they may be very skilled at public speaking. I will reflect on the presentation that I had commented on, that Dr. Barkley had PowerPoints and was far more scripted, where Dr. Halliwell just basically got up with no PowerPoint, stood up, walked in front of everybody on stage and kind of walked around and talked to them individually. The one thing that I'd like to emphasize here in our listeners, because sometimes I listen to our shows and going, you know, people are probably scratching their heads and saying, what's really kind of going on here? And Attention Talk Radio is named Attention Talk Radio for a point. We pay attention to attention. It's really what you pay attention to. And when we're talking about this, is you can pay attention to the negativeness of dyslexia or ADHD, yet people have found ways to thrive. And the issue really is to pay attention to really what you're really, really good at and how it works. And working backwards is if you're really good at public speaking, or as Dr. Howe said, you know, he makes his business with words, which was very difficult. He shared this story about, I don't know, his first grade teacher put an arm around and said, sit down, we're going to kind of do this and nurture him through the process. It really made a lot of sense. And, you know, Kirsten, I know a lot of Attention Talk News and some of the other things that we're doing is really related to this. I mean, we have attention teasers in the newsletter that talks about, that illustrates how what's obvious is a function of what you pay attention to. And so I say this, and Kirsten, if you'd like to comment, is while you might have ADHD and you might have dyslexia, there is hope. You just need to focus more on what you're paying attention to and what you're naturally good at, and leverage those things as a means to move forward. Does that work for you, Kirsten? You want to comment on that?
It really works for me. And, I mean, one of the reasons that we started developing what you described as three-dimensional multimedia newsletter is because, you know, I've been working in the field a long time with people who have learning differences, and finding ways to help the most number of people access as much information as possible is important to me. So the fact that, you know, the internet is now moving, Cisco's saying that by 2015, 90% of all electronic communication is going to have video content in it. That's wonderful for people who don't like to read all of this text. And that's part of why we're including all of this in the newsletter, too, is to make sure that there's content that everybody can access. So maybe the first part isn't what you want to read because it's too much text, but you go down a little bit and there's a video, or there's a little, you know, there's a picture of something with, a, you know, just a little bit of text. We're working on doing pencasts. So you were pointing out this is a great time if you're going to have a learning disability, and so it's a great time to have it because people are paying attention to it and they're starting to realize that there are other ways to get information than just having to read them out of a book.
And, you know, you spawned something that was interesting the other day. My garbage disposal went on the fritz, and I was like, what am I going to do to fix it? And I went online, and I was Googling. I was like, wait a second, I can do videos. And there, sure enough, when I Googled what I was looking for, I found somebody demonstrating how to take the garbage disposal off in a video format that wasn't written. And it made what was normally a horrific experience for me, having to research and do all that stuff, actually relatively easily. And not so much a commercial for Attention Talk Video because we're including that stuff, but really to kind of go back to the point is, if you had to have dyslexia and ADHD, there's not a better time technologically, I think, in history to have this. And there are other means because sometimes you got to skin the cat a little differently. With that conversation, I want to kind of go back to Judith. Our comments on this. You wanna overlay your comments on top of what we said?
Yeah, several things have come to mind as you've each been speaking, and one is something that we probably want to mention. It's extremely low tech. It doesn't involve technology at all, and that is that people who are motivated by a certain subject are more willing to engage in a reading process, and this is both children and adults. If you think back to when you were in college, think about a subject you loved and think about one that you found kind of dry and not interesting to you, and I think that you're more willing to engage in becoming a better reader when you're doing it for a reason. And I know quite a few young children who have learned to read because they wanted to read the sports pages of the newspaper, and they would sit and work out those words and look at the scores, but that was really their motivator to learn to read. Likewise, you know, if you have a special, special interest, cooking or putting together models, you're probably more willing to engage in that type of reading. And for some people, that's where their reading skills begin to grow. So that's just an interesting idea that we're not the same reader for every single subject.
Well,
go ahead.
I want to answer here. I'm not going to disagree with you, but I want to bring in a personal experience that was then and now. Earlier I talked about my experience taking sociology of sport when I was in college, and they put me in that because they thought I'd be interested in reading. And I was interested in the topic, but I kind of couldn't keep up. That said, fast forward to about a year ago, and Nancy Rady, who's a very well-known ADHD coach, and we're really good friends, she's dyslexic, she basically twisted my arm and forced me, said, "You got to read this book called Dyslexic Advantage," which I did. And we had the authors on as an interview. It was interesting to me because in their book they talk about how as you advance in higher education, you start to get it. It starts to come easier. And I got to tell you, high school was horrific for me.
Mm-hmm.
My undergraduate degree was hard. When I got my MBA, let me tell you, I worked pretty hard, but I went from like a 2.6 in high school. I got to college because I was an athlete, not because I didn't take Spanish. They got me in as an exception. I got through and I graduated. But when I got my MBA, I had a 3.86 or something. And most of that's because the first class I took in organizational behavior, I just went after the B and didn't do the last paper or whatever. And I'm saying that because for me, as I have grown and gotten my arms around things a little bit, I have more interest in reading some stuff, whereas before I had it, but I couldn't kind of keep up. Now I understand a little bit more. And I'm just sharing that. I'm not so sure that really makes a lot of sense. I'm not so sure it really
does. I think it does. I think it talks about the power of being motivated.
Yeah, well, my point really is I never excelled as a student, but when I got my MBA, I did really, really, really well. And I did really well in finance with the concentration. And I had to take undergraduate courses, academically, that was the best I've ever done the further I went along. And I don't know what that – I just tell you, it made a little more sense to me as I got older. Maybe it was the memory. I don't really know what it was. I can tell you, they share in the book, and I identified with it. The further I went along in education, the easier it got. So,
well,
and I didn't mean to interrupt you.
Also,
keep going. Keep going.
Sorry. Go ahead.
No, I didn't mean to interrupt. I'm going to continue your thought. I hope I didn't disrupt you too much.
No, I was going to say that another very positive part the further up you go in your education is that you are the one who determines what you're taking and what you're interested in. In high school, you have a whole range of courses you have to take, whether you want this kind of math or Spanish or French. You know, it's kind of prescribed that you have to take all of those things. By the time you get into your higher education, you're much more able to tailor what you're interested in and what you're good at. And I think that's another reason why we often hear these stories of people that go all the way through doctoral programs in an area of true interest to them.
Absolutely. Well, Judith, any last comments or tips for our crowd here as we start to wrap this up?
Yes, one thought that I had after Kirsten was mentioning her client, the woman that she tested, and how difficult graduate school is for her because of the high reading demands. One of the techniques I've seen people use quite effectively is to form study groups where they discuss different parts of what they've read, and it often helps people. Again, people with very good language skills might be able to listen to other people talk about a textbook or talk about a chapter or an article, and by interacting and discussing and listening, for some people that's a very good way to back up the reading, which they didn't get so well.
I echo that. Kirsten, I think you and I have talked about that offline very much, is that for this crowd to have interaction, verbal conversation makes a lot of sense.
It does.
Everybody, I'd like to thank you again. If you want to learn more about Judith, go to judithsterneducationalconsultant.com. Judith, thank you very much for coming on the show.
Thank you for inviting me.
Everybody, catch us next week for a great edition of Attention to Talk Radio. Take care.
Good night.